important that he taught on there to try to get them to see and to get them to understand that, amen, all souls are mine, but the soul that's in it, it shall die. He don't want no one to perish. He wants everyone to have what? Eternal life. I mean, hear what I'm saying. But praise the Lord, we're going to have to continue on this sermon, amen. But nevertheless, see, I don't care who you are. In other words, what this subject is saying, yet there are many out there hearing what's going on right now. But yet there's going to be some ain't going to believe it anyway. But it don't have to be you. Can you say amen? You can believe it. Today can be your day. Amen. Today can be your day. You can have eternal life. And it's simple. You don't have to, amen, do this and do that. You ain't got to do nothing but just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. And accept me, amen, as your Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. Amen. You don't have to go through no kind of ritual. You don't have to, amen, sacrifice up nothing. All you have to do is sacrifice yourself to him. Because that what he did on Calvary, he paid it all in full for us. And all we have to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I believe and accept him as Lord and Savior. Can you say amen? You may be riding down the road. Amen. It's time out for this, your foolishness preaching. To try to bring people to Christ all kinds of ways. Jesus said in the word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Amen. People think they can come to Christ and they accept him as Lord and Savior by word. That ain't going to get it. Can you say amen? It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only through what he did at Calvary. And until we embrace that, until we have faith in that, amen, you will never be able to, amen, have victory in nothing. Can you say amen? So whoever you may be and wherever you may be at this time, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to believe God for you on this morning. Amen, amen, or wherever you may be. And I don't care. You might be saying, preacher, you can't imagine what I'm going through. I don't care what you're going through. You could be going through, amen, whatever. God is able to deliver. Can you say amen? But at this time, I'm going to pray for you that God will give you comfort and make you, amen, and give you, amen, the understanding that you don't have to be like this rich man. You don't have to go through what you're going through. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Come to me right here and accept me as Lord and Savior. That's all you have to do. And believe him. And then find you a good place to go and hear the word of God. Amen. Be taught the word of God. And believe only in what he did at Calvary that will give us victory over any and everything on the face of this earth. If you try to find any other way, we're going to lose. We're going to fail. But through Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, give us victory. Amen. That's why he came and that's why he died. Amen. He nailed everything to the cross. And I'm going to pray for your gracious Father. We thank you on this day. Thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you, dear God, as we're going forth this morning. And that individual that is out there looking for, amen, something that's better than what they have. Oh God, we bring them good news and let them know that it's over here in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. And Lord, we thank you for them, oh God. We ask that you would just touch their mind and touch their heart. Save them, dear God. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. We hope you...
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
4 and verse 13. And I'm always happy to hear young people going back to school. I just got to tell you that, you know, a big part of my push since I graduated from a HBCU, a historically black college and university, it's just part of one of the things that I like to do is to try to encourage young people to go to one of our HBCUs if you can. Amen. Now, I'm happy that you're going anywhere. But if you are still matriculating in those lower grades and you haven't yet made a decision on a college, I want you to think about some of the historically black colleges and universities. And we have some great ones right here in this state. Amen. Grambling State University, Southern University. I think Dillard is in that list. Amen. Xavier. All right. So we have some great HBCUs right here in the state of Louisiana, and I don't want you to disregard them. I want you to consider them as you make plans to continue your education. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, there you will find these words, very familiar passage of scripture, and I want us to read it together. Amen. It reads, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's read that again. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to your hearts from the subject, priorities for progress. Priorities for progress. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Priorities for progress. If you are going to succeed in this life, you ought to be making plans and preparations. I heard somebody say that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So I've come by this morning to encourage you young people to establish some priorities for your life. Amen. Priorities for progress. You ought to have priority management contingencies that you lay out. You ought to have, amen, a three-year plan or a five-year plan. You ought to have some idea as to where you want to be in the future. And hopefully no one is content, even those who've gone to college and are working. Amen. I hope that you haven't reached the point in your life where you have ceased making plans. Because somebody said that the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. So as good as you have it right now, as successful as you are right now, you may be a big baller and a shot caller and all of that. But God sent me by this morning to tell you that he has more in store for you if you're willing to make some priorities for your life. Priorities for progress. Now, I could talk all morning about college because I was what you might call a career student. I loved college so much, amen, and my mother's here to bear witness to the fact that the plan that I had is that I was going to stay in college as long as I possibly could. College was good to me. Amen. I loved it so much. I started out, for those who may not know, I started out at McNeese State University. I never will forget that while I was getting ready to graduate from Leesville High School, God had blessed me to be senior class president, but he also blessed me to score high on the ACT test. And during that time, amen, it was kind of unusual. It was kind of rare for African American, especially African American males, to do well on these tests. But thanks be to God, and thanks, amen, to the fact that mom and dad made me study, I did well on the test. And so I had offers from just about every college and university in the state of Louisiana. I could go just about anywhere I wanted to go. As a matter of fact, Dean Patsy Lewis, who I believe is deceased, she was one of the deans from Louisiana Tech University. She came here to Leesville to recruit me to come to Louisiana Tech, amen. And then there was another dean, Miss Frances Summers, amen, from McNeese. She came here to recruit me to come to their colleges, and I decided to go to McNeese. I had a friend who didn't do so well on the ACT test, and her options were limited as it relates to where she could go to school, and her family had meager means, and she didn't have a whole lot of financial help to go to college, but the Lord laid it on my heart to talk to Dean Patsy Lewis up at Louisiana Tech University, and I told Dean Lewis, I asked her, would you please consider my friend? She's not the smartest thing in the world, but she's a good person. Yes, she is. As a matter of fact, she has some qualities and characteristics that I think will be a benefit to your university. And thanks be to God, Dean Lewis heard what I said, and my friend, who will tell you herself, amen, that I was instrumental in helping her get a full scholarship to Louisiana Tech University, and she made good use of it and is doing well today, amen. So I know a whole lot about college. I know about education. I loved it. I wanted to stay at McNeese. I loved living in the dorm, and I loved the cafeteria, and I loved the cafeteria, and I loved living in the dorm, and I loved the cafeteria, amen, because they had it set up where you could eat all you wanted, amen. It was buffet style, right, amen. And I know some of y'all look at me sometimes and say, where does he get all of his being, amen? Well, I got a lot of it in college, hallelujah. But I figured out a way in college to stay there a long time. What I would do, I would start with 24 hours, amen. And I would wait till drop time. You had a period where you could drop, and I would drop down about 12 hours and then take some of those classes again the next semester. And I kept doing that and kept doing that, and 1 year turned into 2 years, and 2 years turned into 3 years, and 3 years turned into 4 years, and 4 years turned into my mama saying, come home, I need to talk to you. Amen. And my mother said, she told me, either you transfer to Southern and finish, or you're not going to get any more of our money. You see her shaking her head. Amen, amen. And so I transferred to Southern University. I got serious about it because I realized that college was not meant to be a permanent place. Amen. It was meant to be a temporary place to prepare me for a better place. But I sing the praises of college, and it bothers me to hear young folk talk about, I don't want to go to college, I have no desire, amen. That's why we take our young people to Southern and to Grambling every year to expose them to the university experience, because one thing I know is that exposure breeds expectation. Some of them have no thought, no hope, no idea about college because mom didn't go to college, daddy didn't go to college, no one in their family. Some of them have never even been on a college campus. So we expose our young people to this to let them know that there is more than the streets of Leesville. There's more than the crossing. There's more, amen, than hanging out all night. Amen. And the Apostle Paul tells us that if we trust in Christ, we can do anything. That was one of the blessings of our boys' outreach ministry last week, to be able to stand there and remind those young men that if they believed in themselves, if they believed in God, they can do anything. See, some of you think that it's a given just because we have an African American in the White House. But we've got to make a connection between the White House and their house. We've got to draw a connection. We've got to let them know, amen, that just as you may be struggling right now, I guarantee President Obama had his struggles along the way. And the brothers were there, amen. The men of vision were there to tell them that they've had their personal struggles. But is there anybody here who's happy to be able to say through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I learned to trust in God. And so I've come by to tell you young people that you can do all things through Christ if you let him strengthen you. You've got to let the Lord strengthen you, amen. And so there are some priorities that you need to establish if you're going to have success in your life. Number one, Number one, you need to prioritize divinity. I said you need to prioritize divinity. Look at what Paul says in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, in order for you to rejoice, you've got to first of all know something about joy. I like to use the little illustration that I heard when I was a child. One of my uncles, he asked me, he said there were two birds on the fence. I know y'all have heard it before. He said there were two birds on the fence. One's name was Pete and the other one's name was what? Repeat. My uncle asked me, he said, if Pete flew away, which bird was left? I said, Repeat. He said there were two birds on the fence. One's name was Pete and the other one's name was Repeat. If Pete flew away, which one was left? I said, Repeat. There were two, and he just kept doing that over and over again. The point, amen, is that, and that's what I want you to see with this word, rejoice. Because just when you think you've given God your highest praise, just when you think you've given God your very best in worship, God does something over. He does something again. He does something new. He does something tremendous. He does something awesome, and you find yourself, what, praising him all over again. Tell your neighbor, you need to rejoice. You need to rejoice. Some of us come in here and act like we rejoiced all we could rejoice last Sunday. Oh, my. But somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and all that he's done for me. I don't know about you, but joy will spring up all over again. Now, in order to really understand this passage, you need to understand, as I said, that rejoicing is tied to joy. And you need to know that joy is unlike happiness. See, when you say you're happy because things are happening the way you want them to happen. But is there anybody here who can testify that that's not always the case? That things are happening the way you would like them to be happening? And so that tells me that we're not happy all of the time. But the good news today is that you can have joy all of the time. Can I tell you why you can have joy all of the time? Because in the Greek, this word rejoice is inextricably tied to the word grace. Which says to us that if you know what grace is, and if you know you have grace, you can't help but have joy. Well, that's my challenge. That's my challenge as pastor, is to make sure you understand what grace is. Let me tell you what grace is. I know you already know. I know you've been to Bible college, and you know what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. Now let me pause there and let that soak in. Let me say it again. Grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. Somebody missed it. There should have been a shout somewhere. I said grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Now maybe I need to help you. Maybe I need to find your address by reminding you of what you do deserve. Can I tell you that because of your sin, because of your issues, because of your iniquities, you ought to be in hell? You ought to be dead? Oh, okay, all right. I'm not making it perfect. Somebody say you're leaving somebody out. You're leaving somebody out. We ought to be dead and in our graves. We ought to be in a burning, hot, fiery place. Ooh, somebody's halo is a little too bright. Somebody's halo is a little too bright. Amen, amen. As good as you think you are, if it had not been for Jesus, you would be on your way to hell. As holy as you think you are. Y'all ain't feeling me. Look. I know you quit cussing as much as you used to. I know you don't lie as much as you used to. I know you don't. You fill in the blank. As much as you used to. But as good as you think you are this Sunday morning, Isaiah said that at the height of humane perfection, we are still messed up. He said at our very best, when God looks at us, all we are filthy rags. Pastor didn't say it, the Bible says it. So don't be mad at me till he called me a filthy rag. I ain't no filthy rag, amen. I'm a little dirty, but I ain't filthy. Now come on, amen. The Bible says that based upon our behavior, and guess what? If you didn't do it, you thought it. And if you thought it, Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, amen. You didn't get your hands on her because she wouldn't give you the time of day. But if you thought about it, Jesus said you've already committed adultery in your heart. So am I the only one in here today who has to admit, who has to acknowledge that if it had been left up to justice, I would be on my way to a devil's hell? But I can rejoice because of grace. I can praise him because of grace. The songwriter got so happy when he thought about all the mess he'd done, when he thought about how the Lord made a way for him. The songwriter got happy. He said, what kind of grace? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, come on, where are my once lost folk? Where are my once lost folk? Where are my once in the club folk? Where are my once weed-smoking folk? Where are my once alcoholic folk? Where are the people that the Lord picked you up, turned you around, placed your feet on solid ground? So if you're going to have progress, first thing you got to do is prioritize divinity. Pastor, break that down for me. See, you went to Southern, and y'all a whole lot deeper than the rest of us. But what are you talking about? Prioritize divinity. I'm glad you asked. It means put God first. Put God first. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. I'm in Bible country. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, what? And his righteousness, and what? And all the, oh, I am in Bible country. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw nigh. Come on, put God first. It bothers me when young folk who were in the church every Sunday, worshiping God, praising God, on the drill team, on the praise dance team, but get away from home and lose your mind. If you're gonna make it, you better prioritize divinity and see if you were doing it for mama, if you were doing it for daddy. That's where you messed up. You ought to be doing it because of God, because you love him, because he's the center of your joy, because without him, you know you could do nothing. Young people, as you go off to college, remember, remember, remember to prioritize divinity. Keep God first. Put him first. And you find your church home up at Grambling. Find your church home down at Southern. Find your church home up at Natchitoches. Wherever you go, make sure you put God first. When I went to Southern, that was one of the first things I did. I wanted to find a church home, and I know I've told the story before. I looked, amen, I went to church after church in Baton Rouge. I couldn't find a church that ministered to my needs. The Lord told me one Sunday, drive to New Orleans. I drove to New Orleans. I didn't know anything about any churches in New Orleans. Never heard of a Greater St. Stephen. Never heard of a Paul Morton. But I ended up at Greater St. Stephen. Amen. And the Lord blessed me at Greater St. Stephen. I was able to establish a relationship with Bishop Morton, who is the presiding bishop of a whole denomination. And y'all know that he was here last year, amen, to preach my 20th anniversary. That also tells me, and that brings me to my next point. Not only must you prioritize divinity, you've got to also prioritize humanity. Look at verse 5 says, let your moderation be known, what? Unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So not only do we have a responsibility to put God first, we've also got to live our lives in such a way, amen, that we develop relationships with people who are able to see Christ in us. How many of you know that you're the only Bible some folk will ever read? I tell you, I'm happy to say that wherever I've been in this life, I can go back there without any regret, without any doubts about how I'll be thought of. And even this year, some of you know that some of the friendships that I established in college are still strong today. A few Sundays ago, a policeman was here from Oberlin. Amen. Young man I met at McNeese. And y'all heard him stand up and say, even back then, he was telling folk about Jesus. I thank God for that. Brother Michael Cutright, who played here, amen, a few Sundays, who brings his group for our family day. Guess what? I met him at McNeese. Amen, amen. Greg Ruffin, he was a basketball player, met him at McNeese. I could go on and on and on about friendships that I established in college because I learned at an early age that I've got to represent Christ wherever I go and whatever I do, amen. Young folk, don't leave home and lose your mind. Don't leave home and make a shame of your family name. You've got to remember, amen, that God died for you. He gave the very best that he had for you. And in everything you do, you ought to represent him in the best way. Prioritize humanity. Let me give you something else you can do. Amen. When you go off to college, find some volunteer work. Amen. Find some program or some organization that you can get involved in, amen, to represent Christ, to do the work of the church, amen. Because not only must we come in here talking about we love God, we've got to love each other. We've got to love other folk, amen, and not just folk in the church house. Whew. It's hard enough getting us to love each other. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I knows you. I knows you. Amen. Some of y'all sitting on the same row with some folk and you ain't spoke to them yet. Been sitting there looking out the corner of your eye saying, I hope she don't speak to me. And yet you going on to heaven anyhow. The devil is a lie. I'm telling y'all better start looking around the church real good at some of these folk, because if you make it to heaven, you ain't going to see them there. Oh, my, you're going to get in trouble now, Pastor. Tell your neighbor it's tight, but it's right. So not only must you prioritize divinity, you've got to prioritize humanity. He says, let your gentleness be known to everybody. And that simply means we've got to act like Christ. See, some of y'all are all confused and twisted because you can't figure out whether you need to act like the pastor, or do I need to act like the deacons, or no, baby, please don't. No. I'm not the model. I'm not the standard. If you want to know who you need to act like Jesus. Am I the only one in here willing to admit, amen, that I'm not the standard? No. Now, I hope you can pick up a few things from me, but don't pattern your whole life after pastor. You better look to Jesus. Don't, amen. These preachers look real good up here in their black suits and all of that, but they ain't the standard. Amen. Oh my deaconesses, they're the most beautiful. Oh, they're beautiful. I love them. Amen. But they're not the standard. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is our standard. We've got to act like Christ. The Bible says, they shall know we are Christians, what? By our love. So number one, prioritize divinity. Number two, prioritize humanity. But then finally, amen, prioritize this opportunity. See, because there's somebody, amen, you're getting ready to go off to college, there's somebody who wishes they were in your